This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, it's been quite a night, dude. Yeah.
Hasn't it?
It's just been fun. A raucous crew here around the shop and a full peanut gallery today, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed you had a lot of cigar guys in here.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. There's just some movement in some of the cigar stores here around the Jackson area. Just like in many other locales, there's tons and tons of cigar shops, but we're kind of the only pipe shop in town, but we do sell cigars. And so we've had a cigar shop recently go through some transition, and some of their loyal followers have started to migrate over here, which is great. We welcome them and welcome their support, and hope they buy cigars here and occasionally pick up a pipe. But it was just kind of a fun crew today, a little different, getting to know some different folks. And then, of course, top it off with, a little technical difficulty getting started here. And there you go.
Yeah, man. We'll pull the curtain back a little bit for the podcast audience. Tonight has been a rough time in terms of getting the live show together. Literally every single technical difficulty that could go wrong did go wrong. But you know what? We are here. I'm hanging out with you on a Monday night. And I got to tell you, there's nowhere else I would rather be than sitting behind the mic with you, sir.
Lies.
No, that's true. Absolutely. That being said, there is one other place I'd rather be. I would go back in time and be at my sister's wedding this weekend, which actually did happen. My sister got married. I've only got one.
Yeah.
And she got married this weekend.
Dude,
and
congratulations.
Thank you. I got to tell you.
But why would you go back in time? To not do it?
No.
Or to go to it again?
It was just that much fun, man. I mean, it was a blast. I say this and I get in trouble with my wife whenever I do, but it was the most fun wedding I've ever been to in my entire life.
Wow.
It was so fun.
Yeah. I'd limit the amount of times that you say that to your
Well, I tell I try to preface it. I forget to, but not including, of course, my own wedding, which obviously that's top tier. But I will say
that one doesn't count, baby.
There was a moment in the reception that stood out to me as kind of a very special event. I've always had this on my bucket list. Me, my two brothers, and my sister all got up on stage with the band and sung with the band, it's just been on my bucket list to be on stage with my my siblings and be jamming out. And so to do so to the tune of
were y'all singing?
Uptown Funk.
Oh, good. Yeah. Solid.
Dude, it was a blast.
No, that's good. So does that mean all the York siblings are now have jumped the broom at this point?
No, my youngest brother, I think he...
John,
he's still playing the field. He's had a great career behind him. I think he's got a very promising career ahead of him. So I don't know that he'll be... Although he'll be retiring anytime soon. But
hey, JH, if you're listening to us, we're pulling for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Come be my wingman one night. It'd be great.
Yeah, no, you don't want him as a wingman. He'll take them all.
He went right. I know, right? I know.
But a great guy, great family. And man, what a fun weekend just to be able to celebrate a wedding. And what did you do this weekend?
Absolutely nothing. No, that's a lie. I did not do absolutely.
Y'all had a meeting here.
We did that last week.
Oh, was that last week?
Last week we had a pipe club meeting here, which was great. The Magnolia Pipe Club elected new officers.
Yeah, new president and everything else.
New president, which was really great. And I was reelected treasurer. But I think that was mostly because most people did not have any interest or appetite in signing all the paperwork that it would take to change over, like the bank account and all that kind of stuff. So, it was great. We just stayed up really late and had folks come from all over. Our friend John from New Albany, Mississippi, which is about 4 hours away, drove all the way from there here to come hang out with us that night. And had a great time. So, but yeah, this weekend was awesome, man. I spent all day yesterday doing some painting around the shop, planted some lovely flowers in front of the door here, and just kind of spruced it up a little bit, kind of made it feel a little more lived in and homey.
Are those new signs that I saw, by the way, on my way in?
They are, yeah. So underneath our logo now, we've got a couple of new signs that say pipes and then cigars. Yeah, right beneath there.
So, the Country Squire, if you don't know what the Country Squire is, it could be somewhat ambiguous.
Yeah, that's right.
Although y'all's logo does have...
It's got a pipe in the logo.
Yeah.
But, if you're not looking for it, it can be a little hard to understand. So now plainly outside says pipes and cigars, and then planted a couple flowers outside, and then I've gotten a lot of feedback from the small little signs I put in the flower pots that say no drinks, because the last time I planted stuff people kept pouring their root beer and their Coca-Cola in the flower pots.
Don't do that. And
so they killed all the flowers.
That's terrible.
I had to put little signs in there this time that says no drinks.
You
can put your pipe tobacco in there. They like that.
No appreciation for herbology.
Botany.
Right? No appreciation for botany. And herbs and whatnot.
Herbology.
Yeah. Mm. Man, we got a fun topic tonight. We are going to be doing another top three episode.
That's right.
And this is a good one, man. So top three products that you might find in various aspects of this pipe culture and pipe world that we live in. Tonight, we are talking top three Kentucky Dark Fired Blends.
That's right. So Dark Fired Burley, it's kind of a movement within the pipe industry recently.
Really?
Blenders that have really embraced this Dark Fired Burley over the past, 5 years or so. And there's just been a lot of really interesting takes on this particular tobacco that have come out that I think have really added a lot to, the library that we all know and love of pipe tobacco.
Man.
So we wanted to talk about that. There's so many good ones out there, and I've got some favorites, and we're going to reveal those tonight and kind of talk about talk about all that. So yeah.
Before we even get into kind of the top, I mean, there's a lot of adjectives here.
Yeah, that's right.
Kentucky
dark fire. Burley.
I mean, right. there's a lot of a lot of words going into this. So you're talking about to me when I hear that much descriptive terms, I'm thinking like a segment within a segment within a segment within a segment.
Yeah, it's not quite that complicated, but Burley on its own has its own characteristics, but the dark fired Burley, think of something that's cured in a way that can almost be more along the lines of a Latakia or an Oriental or something. This is a Burley that tends, because of how it's cured, to have more of a smoky flavor to it. So super robust, real smoky. Typically a lot of nicotine.
Because Burley.
It's Burley anyway, right?
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of nicotine and just a real tasty tobacco, pretty bold. It's a bold tobacco. So something that is not going to be something you would find in a lighter kind of all day type smoke. This is, unless you're, just looking for that really, really strong blend. So, but the dark fired Burley, it's one of those that gives a richness to tobacco, and a lot of times it pairs really well with things like Virginia, and particularly Perique's goes really well with those. And so it just gives maybe some brighter blends if you throw some dark fired Burley leaf in there, more complexity, and then the more you put in, also this richness that you could only get otherwise maybe from like a Latakia. But it's not obviously a Latakia. It's more, it's more earthy than that.
So. Dark Fire Kentucky. I mean, would that imply cased or not cased?
This is not cased.
Right.
Yeah, not cased. So this is it's a Burley, that just undergoes its own flue curing process or fire curing process that kind of just gives it this smoky, smoldery flavor. It's real tasty.
Yep. Well, I got to tell you, from what you've been smoking already tonight, I've been enjoying the room note of it. So let's dive in, man. Your top three.
Yeah, interesting. So tonight, I've got a few interesting ones that I decided to pull out. The first one I want to talk about is Warhorse from Standard Tobacco.
I want my Warhorse.
I don't think that was ever said in
it's
that
an
accent
SNL
ever.
Thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Some people, a very few of our listeners will catch that.
The first one I decided to pull out tonight was the Warhorse from Standard Tobacco. Now, this is kind of an interesting pick for this. Again, this is my personal top three. I'd love to hear y'all's input on this. But Warhorse, this was a tobacco that in the United Kingdom throughout the middle part of the 20th century was available in Great Britain, and then went out of production for a while. And then Russ Ouellette, who of course works for PipesandCigars.com, is the blender there. He teamed up with Standard Tobacco to bring back all these great blends that were kind of from the UK, and were just kind of lost to the market years and years ago. But we've got the John Cotton's blends that came out, the number one and two in the Smyrna, and then they also brought back the Warhorse, which I think was really exciting, and the Bengal Slices as well, which we've talked about briefly before on another episode. But Warhorse is great. It is certainly a full body tobacco. It's one of those that it's got a kind of a sweetness to it, but it's certainly robust, and
yeah,
so it's going to be one of those that has a real rich flavor, but but also a tolerable sweetness to kind of cut some of that, I don't know, just the heaviness to it. When you smoke it, it tastes full, but it's not so full that it's just not sippable. You know, when you kind of have a beer that's like you refer to as very drinkable, you refer to as very drinkable.
Sure,
you know?
Absolutely.
So think of one that's like strong, but something that you really can get into and is kind of your mouth. You know, I don't use that phrase enough, but Mrs. Reeves always used to talk about a tobacco being kind to your mouth. You know, something that you can just puff on very regularly, and it's just easy going. You know, so the Warhorse is definitely in that category. But so the older blend that they came out with Warhorse, you know, that was, you know, that they tried to mimic was more on the floral side. It had some you know, elements that kind of made it probably a little lighter. This version that they've come out with, obviously, as true to form as they could get, but it's bolder. The you know, Dark Fired Kentucky really stands out, and it's got enough perique to make itself known, but not just a super amount of pepper, which is kind of nice for folks that aren't crazy about perique. But it's a great blend, particularly if you know, you're looking for something that's full bodied, but you know, you don't want to, you know, lay down and die after you smoke it.
Well, that's always a good thing. You know, it's interesting because
sometimes you want that kind of blend.
I guess that's true, probably true. But hey, you know, as you've been smoking it, the room note, I just cracked open the tin, took a smell of the tin note. Tin note, they don't seem to match up. I almost feel like deceived by the room note of the tobacco.
You know, I've been getting that a lot recently on some of these blends that are more full-bodied. You know, it's funny, we've got folks around the shop that smoke a lot of this real, real full-bodied stuff, particularly, you know, Balkan blends, Oriental blends. And, you know, sometimes you do kind of wonder, like, wow, is that an aromatic? Is that something that has some type of topping on it or something? But the, you know, the Warhorse does, you know, is pretty straightforward as far as it goes. It may... you know, it describes itself as having a very light top note that helps to smooth out the flavor. You know, there's no telling what that is. I mean, there's probably some theories out there. I have no idea, you know, what that could be. But, you know, it is a bold smoke that has just kind of this real nice, you know, natural sweetness to it that that I think is a lot of fun to smoke.
Very cool. All right, so is that your number one or your number three? We should have qualified.
That is my number one.
That's your number one.
That's my number one. Yeah, so I'm going with Warhorse on the number one for the Dark Fired Burley tobacco. Yeah, so number two, I have got probably what would be a lot of folks' number one, and that would be the H.H. MacBaren Old Dark Fired tobacco. Yeah, so this is a MacBaren product, the HH. You know, it's one of those that has just taken the tobacco industry by storm over the past few years, and when folks come in and recognize it from our tobacco you know, selection, they just go crazy over it and buy multiple tins at a time. It's just been one of those that it's kind of like hitting lightning in a bottle. You know, it's been real popular.
You know, we often will do the pipe club meetups, and there'll be giveaways at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever Old Dark Fired is one of them, because the way that we've done things in the past is, hey, it's all stacked up. If you win, if we draw your name, then you come up and pick what you want.
Exactly right.
People will bypass freaking pipes to get Old Dark Fired.
It will. It goes pretty quickly, yeah.
It's crazy.
And folks are willing to pay, you know, a lot for it, to buy it even by the pound and to cellar it, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, so this is a flue-cured Virginias with Dark Fired Burley. And what happens here that makes Old Dark Fired from MacBaren so special is they press this stuff under the influence of hot steam, right? And so it's almost like steamed. It's a steamed tobacco that's cooked, you know, while it's being pressed. And so it makes these super intense flavors. And a fun fact is that, you know, so many folks view Old Dark Fired, technically, this is strange, as almost like an English-style blend, even though this does not feature any Latakia in it at all. And so think of this, like no Latakia in this blend at all, but folks, to some degree, feature it as an English, or think of it as an English-style blend, because it does have that rich smokiness to it.
Just packs that kind of punch.
It does, but that's due to how the tobacco is cured, and the tobacco is cured through this kind of steaming process that's just super unique. So anyway, it's been Just a really great seller, and one of those that, you know, folks come back to over and over. One of my favorite stories here at the Squire is the guy that bought three tens of this stuff. His name's Billy. He's a friend that lives here close to town. But he bought a bunch of it, took it home, and then decided, you know, he just really wanted to try it with some Latakia. And the Old Dark Fired, of course, is real rich and smoky and complex and strong. But, you know, he just wanted some Latakia in there. This was at the time, though, where he did not realize that we sold Latakia by the ounce, okay? So he didn't know that he could just come to the Squire and ask for an ounce of Latakia.
Okay? Oh, wow.
But he wanted Latakia in this tobacco, right, just to try it out. So what he did is he bought a can of Frogmorton, and he opened it, and he went through with tweezers and picked out all the flakes
surgically removed it.
Of Latakia from the Frogmorton, and then went and put it into the doggone Old Dark Fire. So this is weird, like, you know, strange, you know, way he infused, you know, the Latakia into the Old Dark Fire. But yeah, it was hilarious, and it just worked. Yeah. So anyway, we've got a lot of folks that through Billy and, you know, other, you know, inspirations have decided they want to smoke Dark Fired, but put a little Burley in there too.
Wow. You know, I had to dissect a frog in high school.
You did.
It was a different process.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to smoke it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it probably smelled and tasted differently, too.
A little bit.
Did it taste different?
A little different.
Yeah.
A little different. Old Dark Fire. I was going to say the old Dark Fire.
That's right.
I guess you just say the Old Dark
Fire. Old Dark Fire.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good for Mac Baron.
So that is my number two. Number three, this is an interesting selection, and I'd love to know people's feedback on this, and it'll probably be kind of polarizing. But for number three, on a blend that features Dark Fired Burley, I selected GL Peace's Sixpence. All right, now this is kind of an interesting take. So you know, there's a lot of other blends out there. You know, obviously, you know, when we think of Old Dark, you know, our Dark Fired Burleys, we think of a bunch of different ones. Other favorites of mine are the GLP Cumberland, Bourbon Blue from Cornell & Deal is great. The Solani Silver Flake is great. There's a whole host of things out there that, you know, are really tasty. But the Sixpence, for some reason, it's got enough of the Dark Fired Burley in it for me to consider that a blend that features it. And it's one of those blends when Greg Peace came out with this, it was like everyone was trying to just guess what was in it. You know, they were just trying to guess what was in this blend. And of course, when he finally released that, you know, Dark Fired Burley was in this blend, it you know, just kind of it led to the intrigue even more. It, matter of fact, why don't I read the back of that tin there? Yeah,
GLP's is so good at always.
The marketing is just fantastic. He says on the back of this tin, if you're picking up a tin of Sixpence, this is all it says on the tin. Okay, you enter the dark paneled room, its walls lined with ancient books. An antique table stands beside a leather club chair. Upon it, next to a small silver coin, an open tobacco tin entices you with an aroma deep, rich, and authentic. You fill your bowl, strike a match. The first puff stops time as the smoky magic weaves its smell. Sixpence, the mystery continues. That's all you get. Like, you literally have no idea what's in this tobacco if you buy the can.
I'm going to propose a new podcast concept right here and now.
Yeah, okay.
I want GLPs to write short stories. I want you to read them.
I know.
Oh, we will kickstart that right there. That sounds amazing. Oh, man, he's so great. Let's be honest. You're kind of a GLP's fanboy.
I am. I've always admired the stuff that he's done. And, of course, Greg's a good friend of the show. And me personally as a tobacconist is, you know, trying to learn at a very early stage in my career. And, you know, there is a little flavoring on this. Of course, Greg is passionate in communicating that there's toppings and casings lurking everywhere in the tobacco industry. And so, you know, that's something to be known. And so, you know, if you look on tobaccoreviews.com, it says there is some alcohol, liquor flavoring on this. And even in his official description, it says, it is delicately kissed with a special spirit. And then pressed and aged in cakes before being sliced and tinned. And so, when you open this tobacco, it's in a typical GL piece or Cornell and Deal style tin. But when you open it, it is a series of cut, you know, sliced flakes, which you can see the cake that it came out of. So it really, really fascinating. But it's one of those that with each puff, you get this just magical experience. The flavors are so complicated, and so by the time you get to the end of the bowl, you get this experience that's so much different from when you started. And I think the dark fired burley just plays a nice role in some of that complexity. So anyway, I chose Sixpence as my third favorite. That might be a little polarizing for some folks, but I stand by it.
All right, so but not an English blend.
No, it's not an English blend.
And yet, Old London, Sixpence.
Yeah, now it is from his Old London series. That's right.
I'm just saying. You look from that alone, it literally screams English.
Yeah, and you would not know that it's got Latakia or anything else in it, but just by looking at the the label as we just read it, there's no. No indication of what leaves are in it at all. Other than it says, let's see, what adjectives does it use? It says, smoky magic weaves a smell. And yet, no Latakia.
Yeah. All right. So, well, fair enough.
Tonight we've got the, Warhorse from Standard Tobacco, the Old Dark Fired from Mac Baron, and the Sixpence from GL Peace.
Man. Way to count them down, man. Great, great top three.
Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, I these are some of my, go-to blends as far as kind of a weekly smoke. And so, when I did a blend last year for the New Orleans Pipe Show, we did the Fleur-de-Lis. And Fleur-de-Lis is kind of my take on a Warhorse or an Old Dark Fired. It's one of those blends that has, a lot of the Dark Fired Kentucky Burley in it. And so... we sell a lot of it. We love it. I've gotten really great reviews on it. And when I came up with that tobacco, I wanted it to be one of these blends kind of when it grew up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. You didn't include it as one of your top three.
Well, it might be some of my humility coming through.
But, okay, fair
but
enough.
I mean, yeah, I want, other folks to try it. And as it gets, some accolades out there, then maybe we'll revisit this.
Fair enough.
But, I do love it personally. It's great, and we sell obviously a lot of it. But and it's one of those. It's really strong. It's got just enough of a topping to to kind of mix it up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's a tobacco to stay around the squire.
All right, fair enough, man. Sounds good. Look, great blends right here. The wonderful thing is as you sample new tobaccos, as we encourage you to do,
yeah,
is to sample them responsibly. And that's by right. Putting them in a good pipe, a good quality pipe that you can always know is ready for a new blend, no matter what it might be, from whatever corner of the tobacco world. And the only place that we recommend you do that is at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's correct.
Man.
Tonight we're talking about the Shortstop corncob pipe. Shortstop's a cool little pipe, man. Very, very different from I think what a lot of folks are used to with corncob pipes. This is a small bowl.
Very tiny.
Retails for only just a bit over $4.
Can you imagine?
For MSRP? And so you think about a very small bowl and a very long shank. So think of like if a corncob weren't quite a small church warden but wanted to be one one day, it might grow up to be one. And that's what this is. It's got a really nice kind of a Lavat style amber stem on the end of it there with the little black band and a really long shank, which just meets this small corncob bowl. And it's just quite charming. It's one of those that will provide a quick smoke and a cool smoke, and it'll be the perfect opportunity for you to taste your favorite new dark fired burley blend.
I don't know if it's just the small bowl or what, but I was just thinking about the fact how you sample a lot of different tobaccos. And of course, as you're sampling tobaccos, a corncob pipe is what you want. And you're going to want a corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. And I was just thinking about, what if you had a double barrel pipe where you could put like one tobacco on one side and the other barrel on the other side and then smoke it both at the same time through the same shank?
I think you did. This is what happens when people get on acid trips.
It's been
stuff,
a long time.
Right.
I tell you what, let's keep it simple and do so in the most majestic way possible. And that is with the Shortstop corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum. Try it out. If you've got one, smoke it, take a picture. And if it ever grows up to be a church warden, you can let us know.
Let us know.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. We got a pipe question of the week.
Yeah, man.
Ready for this?
Yep.
Pipe question of the week this week is actually sent in from Dan S., who asked the question, any tips and tricks for enjoying a pipe while driving?
Yeah, what a great question. You know, and this is I'll answer this as someone that does always drive on road trips with a pipe. I don't smoke a pipe a lot around town while driving because I don't have to drive very much, to be honest with you. I live literally 3 minutes away from the shop. Yeah. So I just wait till I get to work to smoke my pipe. But yeah, the entire reason I bought a wind cap for my pipe, you know, these metal caps that go over the top of your pipe that have the holes in them. And, you know, the point of these pipe, these wind caps is to, you know, keep the weather from either, blowing out your pipe or burning out your pipe. Anytime you're out and about, whether it's wind or rain, like it just helps with that. The only reason I ever use a wind cap personally is when I'm driving in my car. I put the wind cap on top of the pipe, and that is just so I can set the pipe down in my console and know that the tobacco won't spill out of the pipe. If you don't own a wind cap for your pipe, I would purchase one, if for no other reason, just for that reason, so that, you know, if you set your pipe down kind of next to you in the car, that you would have that, just assurance that the ashes aren't going to fall out, you know, into the console, onto the chair, or anything like that. So that is one tip that I would have. Another one, get you a good pipe lighter. That's obviously important. As much of us purists that love matches and, you know, like to stick to matches, it's just very cumbersome to use matches in a car. And so, get you a good pipe lighter. It'll be safer and more enjoyable for you. Also, another thing to keep in mind is, if you smoke your pipe in your car and you have your window rolled down at the same time, you need to be careful not to hold your pipe too close to the window. All right. Now, let's think about this. I was a history major in college. I have no scientific background at all, so I don't understand physics or fluid dynamics or any of this crap. But the problem is if you get a really strong wind going over the top of your pipe while the pipe is lit, then your pipe will literally burn a hole through the side of it, because what does that wind do to the fire?
Blows it up.
Wind makes the fire get huge. It's this roaring, you know, oxygenated fire that gets just real, real, you know, real strong and real hot very fast. And so, you know, these pipes will actually burn out just because someone sticks them out the window for a few minutes. Think about like the guy that rolls his car window down while he's driving, and he kind of leaves his arm hanging out the side of the car, throughout the window, kind of sits his arm up on the window. Like, if you have your pipe in that hand that's sitting, you know, halfway out the window, your pipe is in danger of actually burning out, and that happens pretty regularly. So you have to be careful with that, because that wind will go over there and get just so incredibly hot inside the bowl that it will will risk the pipe burning out. So be careful with that. Other than that, I think it's just game on as far as using your pipe as usual. I will say, as a straight pipe smoker, I prefer straight pipes and love straight pipes, but straight pipes are a little more cumbersome to smoke inside your vehicle, just because they kind of mess with your line of sight. So bent pipes typically are a little more user-friendly when it comes to, smoking on the road. So, other than that, I think carry on.
I'm going to go in the exact opposite direction and say, just wait till you get where you're going, for all of the reasons that John David just mentioned.
What if it's like an 8-hour drive, dude? You don't want to wait to smoke your pipe.
Don't smoke the pipe for the same reason you shouldn't play Pokemon Go while you're driving.
No.
Okay. No, there you go.
But
to be fair, I'm sitting here playing Pokemon Go while we're podcasting.
I wasn't going
to
say it. I thought about it, but I wasn't going to say it.
But you were smoking your pipe. There you go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm shutting down Pokemon Go. But yeah, that would be my suggestion. But otherwise, John David, great suggestions all the way across. Great question from Dan S. So thanks so much for sending that pipe question of the week. If you've got one, send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick microphones! Bring the heat, baby!
All right! I will bring the heat. Actually, it won't be me. It'll actually be from Dan Schultz, who actually wrote in. This is a Star Wars versus the Seven Seas.
Oh, wow.
So pirates versus, I guess, Jedi.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. We'll show.
All right. Millennium Falcon or the Queen Anne's Revenge? You know what Queen Anne's Revenge is.
I don't.
That is Blackbeard's. Well, Blackbeard had many ships during his career as a pirate. However, the most famous of his ships was the Queen Anne's Revenge, one of the most powerful pirate vessels to ever be recorded in history.
Dang. Although that makes me come close to reevaluating my decision, I'm going to go with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, man. It's the Millennium Falcon. Here's the thing. The reason why I'm going for the Millennium Falcon is because the Millennium Falcon is definitively Han Solo's ship. Whereas I mentioned before, Queen Anne's Revenge, while most famous, you know, one of Blackbeard's most famous ships, actually not his only ship. And in fact, I think he only had it for like a year of his pirate career. So, it, you know, so from that angle, I'm going to go Millennium Falcon. Lightsaber or Cutlass?
I have to go with the lightsaber because it's so much more versatile. The Cutlass is incredibly iconic, charming. You know, we're talking about obviously this you know, sword that kind of has the you know, handle on the end of it.
Yeah, the guard around your arm.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful, but I you know, I have to go with the lightsaber.
That's good. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
If I ever have to like fight, you know, someone, but then also melt something at the same time, you know, you could do science experiments. It's really versatile.
Yeah, and I mean, a lightsaber can deflect laser fire, but I don't think a cutlass can deflect bullets.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There you go. All right, blunderbuss or blaster?
What's a blunderbuss?
Like that's one of those old school like shorthand. You know, you light it type of revolver looking things. I think.
Oh.
Famous of that age, day and age.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm lining up so heavily on the Star Wars side tonight, but I'm going to have to go with the blaster, if that's the case.
Look, Hokie religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, but I got to tell you, man, the blunderbuss, there's something about like the smoke, the gunpowder, like that it would produce when you fired it, that I got to say that is really cool.
It's very romantic.
There is a romantic element to it, isn't there?
It's charming.
Yeah, like there's the pop sound and the I'm going to go with the blunderbuss.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm probably mispronouncing that too. All right. And lastly, for tonight, we got Sarlacc versus Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Kraken.
Yeah. Look, don't get me wrong. The Sarlacc is great, but let's look at what it represents in terms of what actually led to the creation of the Sarlacc. That is clearly an homage to the Kraken.
Yeah.
And you got to give it to the old school. I was actually taking care of the kids in Sunday school this last past Sunday.
Yeah.
And on the whiteboard, I actually drew a pirate ship for the kids. And it was like, oh, here's the pirate ship. And then I drew a Kraken destroying it. And scarred those little two-year-olds for
life. I was
about
to say, they will never ask you to teach Sunday school again.
Yeah, well, it's a win-win then. Great questions, Dan. Dan actually sent in a good number of them, so we'll have some more from Dan
good,
next week.
That's great.
Absolutely. And hey, if you got some quick-fire questions, send them in, csr@podastery.com. Now, before we jump into listener feedback, we've got to tell you about our final sponsor for this week, the good folks at thispipelife.com.
Yes, sir. Thispipelife.com, obviously, it's the new you know, social media and online community experience that we've fallen in love with that is just wrapped all around the pipe and tobacco experience. You know, just surfing through some of their stuff, it gives, you know, pipe clubs an opportunity to connect with one another and get their names out there. Lots of forums where folks can get on there and, you know, obviously swap and trade tips and also, you know, just talk about what they're experiencing. And it's really plugged in with all our favorite social media options as well. So I loved, I was browsing on there today and, you know, one of the main pictures on the Pipe Club's page, it has a picture of a rotary phone, a rack of pipes, and a grenade. And it's like, what more fun could you have?
What?
I mean, this is exactly where I want to be. You know, it's just beautiful. It's visually beautiful. It's got a lot of great, you know, content and is well curated. So we highly, highly recommend that you go check it out and tell them you heard about them on Country Squire Radio.
Absolutely. ThisPipeLife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
We got an email in from Basil.
Yeah.
I think it's Basil. Could be Basil. That's a thing.
I'm going to go with Basil.
I'm going to go with Basil as well. He says, good day, gentlemen. I recently took a up the hobby of pipe smoking and purchased some old Toby from the Squire. So far, I've been it's been very enjoyable and relaxing. I've been listening to your show for a while now, and it never fails to insight and entertain. In a previous episode, you had mentioned a curiosity on pipes made of wood other than briar. I purchased a myrtle pipe for my first, and it smokes cool and doesn't seem to add any flavor to the tobacco. I hope this is helpful. Thanks for your hard work, Basil.
Yeah. Basil, that's interesting. I've never heard of a pipe made of myrtle wood before. So, yeah, good call on that. One thing you have to be careful about these things, as long as it's not a poisonous wood, you know, and that's a thing. That's a thing. Not all woods are safe to smoke out of. And, you know, I'm not familiar with which ones are and aren't, to be honest with you, but I know that there are some that aren't. And so, and even when pipe carvers use accent woods for, certain pieces, they have to be careful that it doesn't, come in contact with the airflow and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm sure myrtle sounds like it's safe and sounds like it smokes cool and doesn't impart any weird flavors. And awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Very good. We also got an iTunes review in.
Yeah, this one comes from the Bearded Badger. He says, a community for everyone. I have certainly delved into the world of pipe smoking. I had no clue where to begin or what to buy, so I looked for a podcast to get the most up-to-date and relevant information I could find. Country Squire Radio was that and so much more. It has become a community and a family. Have never felt so accepted, but John, David, and Beau made me feel as I were right there smoking a pipe with them doing life. No holds barred. They talk about everything from pipes, tobacco, and the history of art, to Tolkien, movies, video games, and even Christianity. Thank you guys for helping me along the journey of the pipe, as well as making me feel like I belong. God bless you, man. That's great. Thank you so much, Bearded Badger. We appreciate that.
Yeah, much. Man. Yep. That's awesome. Thank you so much for that feedback. And guys, if you haven't gotten a chance to head over to iTunes and write us a review, we really appreciate it. We also really appreciate those of you who are tuning in on the Satchel Podcast Player. Be sure to download that for your iPhone or your Android device. Great way to get podcasts. You can support the podcast by sending a few dollars, which we may need based on the technology issues that we've had tonight.
Golly, what a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, here's a little tease of something to come. As soon as all the tech was going on and you asked me how much it was going to cost to fix it, you mentioned some products we've got in the oven. So
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have a little something special to put in front
of
you.
It'd be fun. It'd be something fun.
Yeah. And in the process, y'all can throw us some dollars to help upgrade the equipment here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It'd be good. You know, if you did tune in live to the live show tonight, you know exactly what we're talking about. But hey, we do encourage everyone to tune in live to the live show. That is on Monday nights. You can tune in at countrysquireradio.com at 6:30 Central. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We really appreciate those of you who are able to make it. But we also appreciate all of you who are able to tune into the podcast. You can keep up with us. Go to at Squire Radio on Twitter. You can also follow us individually. I'm at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole. Or you can get us at the shop at underscore Country Squire.
All right, and all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, John David, it has been it's been a day followed by a night.
Dude, it has been all of those things.
That's accurate.
Man, I had a lot of fun. It was great kind of revisiting some of my favorite dark-fired burley blends. And it's such a good tobacco for strength, richness, but also something that, you know, folks that don't necessarily smoke a lot of bold tobaccos can kind of occasionally stick their toe in the water with. And I think it's a good one to visit. I think with Warhorse, Old Dark Fired, and the Sixpence, we kind of give a nice well-rounded view of the top three, and I'd love to hear what some other folks' opinions are.
Man, sounds good. So y'all send us your feedback on the Facebook, but until then,
yeah,
let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm coming for Country Squire. Gonna buy some pipes. There's no tags on pipes, but some have tags on pipes. If they did, then I would buy them and I'd cut those tags. Or pop them, because that's what the song says.